You're a great bunch of guys.
Who are these guys?
A bunch of guys in a tent making s'mores.
Just banging chicks and eating cabbage, you know.
I think they're so funny.
Well, I'm a comedian.
You know how I'm being.
I think that's funny.
But funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you. Who cares?
We're starting a TV show.
Okay, the show's starting.
Come on in, everybody's here.
Let's start the show.
No way.
No freaking way.
Oh, no freaking way.
No freaking way.
No way.
You're a funny guy.
All right. I've got my first guests here on the No Friggin' Way podcasts. All right. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves, where you're from, and how long you've been doing comedy for?
I am Jimmy McCartney, the fourth, and I am born and raised in Plattsburgh. I recently got back from Seattle, Washington, where I lived for 2 years. And I was an actor for Seattle Talent Agency and a comedian in Seattle for the last 2 years.
My name is Harlan Van Valkenburg from Plattsburgh, New York. It's where I still live, of course. Unlike Jimmy, I'm not a world traveler. I guess the best way to describe me is how my boy Jimmy would describe me, a character. I'm just an original me.
So how long have you guys known each other for? A long time?
High school.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, like 12 years.
In fact, the story how we met, well, really started to meet, is quite hysterical because it was at Jimmy's expense. We had this...
No names. Don't name drop.
We had this defensive coach for football whose, would we say, weekly goal was it to make your life a living hell? Is that proper?
Kind of.
And he knew Jimmy on the long bus rides to the games like this sit alone. Well, didn't our wonderful defensive end coach sit Jimmy right in the front seat, and then he sat me right next to him. And at first, Jimmy was as pissed as I've ever seen him. But real quick, somehow, he got used to me, and we've been doing shit like this ever since.
Awesome. Yeah, you guys seem to have some chemistry here. We had the first open mic night, or the second, actually, in Plattsburgh. Yeah. Jimmy actually started it, which is pretty awesome, because there's no comedy scene at all in Plattsburgh. And I've been having to travel all the way to Vermont, which sucks. So I'm glad that we have an open mic locally. I actually live around the corner, so this is pretty awesome. So where you live? You live? Are your parents from here? Staying with your family now that you're in town, Jimmy?
Yeah. So I came back 2 weeks ago. Like you said, last week was the first open mic, and I pretty much got it going as soon as I landed from Seattle. Cool. And I'm gonna be home. Ideally, I'll be moved to LA by October 1st, but we'll see about that. That is to be determined. So I'll be home for a couple months, and I'm learning a new business to, you know, give me some funding while I'm in LA. So what I'm planning on doing is learning it. It's all online. I'm going to learn the business and then move to LA by the fall after a couple weddings I have in September. And then I'll be in LA by October and working from home and being able to support myself. So that's the vision.
Awesome, dude. So do you like the West Coast a lot better than Plattsburgh? Is it a lot more, is day-to-day life a lot more chill? Is the weather just kind of really makes a difference in terms of overall quality of life? You know, I've been to California once. I went to San Francisco, and it was like a pretty incredible place. Just the vibe was awesome. And so Seattle is a good place to be.
I mean, it depends on what you're doing there. Like my experience was shit.
It's expensive,
was,
right? It's really expensive.
It is expensive, but the reason why my experience was different than most people is because I wasn't planning on living there. I was only supposed to be there a week or two. And the meeting I was supposed to have with Amazon, I got rejected from and never had the meeting. And I was really broke and struggling, and I didn't have enough money to continue my West Coast trip. So I had to, get a job to survive. So
that might be a good thing. I heard Amazon kind of sucks to work for them. Like, they put you in diapers and they really kind of push you to the limit. So
yeah,
maybe that's a blessing.
There's horror stories of Amazon. Yeah. And I used to ride the bus into downtown with the people at Amazon, and they literally looked just like cattle being led to the slaughter, because they get on. They all looked exactly the same. They were our age, like mid to late 20s, miserable as shit. No one makes a peep, and they all have their heads down, and they all get off at the exact same bus stop and go work 80 hours a week. But anyways, yeah, I mean, to answer your question, the West Coast is definitely different than the East Coast. What I usually say to people is I never realized I was a New Yorker until I move to the West Coast, because they are just very dude, they are so different here. If you just get all animated and start yelling and screaming about pizza, you know, people are like, oh, he's just really passionate about pizza. But there, they'll think you're trying to fight somebody,
like, right? They like, if don't. You raise your voice, they're like,
yeah, they, yeah.
I'm like, I'm not yelling at you, I'm
right.
Just, you know, energetic,
yeah,
passionate.
This is really good coffee. I'm just describing this coffee.
Stop yelling.
So I mean, that's definitely different. But the weather is definitely completely different from where you go. So
I guess Seattle is, I mean, generally, stereotypically, it's like rainy and kind of depressing.
Dude,
is that really
okay,
the case?
Here's the stereotype about it always raining in Seattle is bullshit.
Really?
Okay. You know why?
Why?
Because it's way worse than what they say. Dude, it gets the least number of sunny days of any city in the country. But the thing is that's crazy is that when they have clouds, like here on a cloudy day, there's breaks in the clouds, right?
Right.
There, it's not clouds. It's an impenetrable gray shield.
It's just gray.
Trump's wall?
Yeah.
That
yeah.
shit's in the sky above Seattle. That's what that shit is. And you'll go weeks without physically seeing the sun one time. It's crazy, man. But yeah, LA is the exact opposite. I mean, when I go down there to visit and I do comedy down there and stuff, it's like another world, man.
So
it's
you've gone down to LA to do comedy before?
Yep. Dude, the story of this, you're going to love this, man. So I performed at the Laugh Factory, which the top two places in LA are the Laugh Factory and the Comedy Store,
right?
Right, yeah, you know it. Okay. So I go to perform at the Laugh Factory, and one of the kids that I was performing with was an 18-year-old who was still in high school. And I pretty much spent the whole pre-show telling him, like, dude, you're doing amazing. You're so far ahead of the game. You're doing great. You're doing big things. If you keep doing this in college and do all those open mics and host them, you're going to be a beast, and you're only going to be 22, right? So he tells me, oh, over at the Comedy Store, there's a show with, like, all these headliners. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be awesome. The show's sold out. But because he told me this, when we got done performing, I walked over to the Comedy Store just because of him. And I get there, and outside the doors of the store, they have, like, a little outdoor patio area with, like, a little mini bar. So I make friends with the bouncer, and he tells me, look, the show is sold out, but there's always someone who can't go in. For whatever reason, there's at least one person who can't go in. So because you're cool with me, Jimmy, I'm going to let you in, right? So I'm first on the bump list, so I know as soon as someone can't go in, I'm good to go, right? A couple minutes later, the 18-year-old comes in with his parents, and I go up to his parents, and I'm like, listen, dude, like, you should be so proud of your son. He's doing amazing. This is awesome. Everything about him is great. You should be so proud of him, and he's only 18. That's and when I finished,
incredible to start a comedy that young, you know.
Right, but that young is the key point, because when I finished the period on that sentence, the bouncer came over and was like, "How old are you?"
Wait, you can't be that young.
I didn't know that. You have to be 21 because they have a little bar patio area. So in one sentence, in an attempt to be nice, right. I got all three of them kicked out and guaranteed that I would get to go in.
Oh, nice.
So
it worked out. So yeah. Actually, you did a good thing by complimenting the kid and be like, wow, he's really a go-getter. He's only 18. He's going to really, you know, make a name for himself. He's going to have this, you know, that many more times to go up, and you got him booted, and he probably quit comedy and never did it again. So
I don't know.
You got to go up.
But that show was amazing.
Yeah.
So
what's that club like, by the way? Wait, where is that one? In L.A.? You said Laugh Factory?
Yeah, so the Laugh Factory and the Comedy Store, a lot of people wouldn't know this. I had no clue. Like, when I got, I just went there to do the Laugh Factory. I had no clue where the Comedy Store was in relation, but they're only a mile apart. You literally don't even have to turn. It's on the same street.
Wow.
So when you, like, yeah, I just literally walked right down the street, and it's right there. It's like three quarters of a mile away.
They're right next to each other.
No, they're right next
like,
to each
you
other.
You hear, like, oh, yeah, there's open mics, but you got to drive 45 minutes between them to bounce around. It's not like New York City where you could take a subway. You can walk around the corner.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to New York City next week, and I'm, like, contemplating whether to maybe just try an open mic here and there. I know it's, like, super rough.
No, dude, you have to. Yeah, yeah. Listen, if you get up there and you bomb and you do terrible, mm-hmm. you're going to learn a lot about it. No matter what, when you do the more you do stand-up, the better you get. And when you bomb is when you get the best. So
yeah, I want to experience, like, a New York City open mic crowd, because they always say, like, oh, man, bro, it's gonna be tough. And, you know, I honestly wanted to see, like, what the other comics there are like, and just get to meet them. Just be like, look, you're in the biggest city, you know, you got the most competition, so just, you know, get to network and
yeah,
I'm looking forward to it.
And the cool thing is, dude, is like, let's say you go there and it's like the worst bomb you've ever experienced ever. The reason why that's so great is because it makes every other experience you'll have better and easier, because
the only way it would be worse than like what happens around here is like if you're literally booed off the stage and or physically assaulted, because
physically assaulted is bad.
Yeah, yeah, otherwise it's just silence and you're like, oh, I don't know if I'm doing well, and it's like, maybe I am, maybe I am not, maybe I should kill myself. But you know, it's not like, you know, so like, whatever, what's the worst that could happen,
dude?
Why not get up there?
Only good things can happen when you bomb. That's what a lot of people
and
don't
like,
realize. Is
I may like, just like, yeah, just go to different places. Be like, all right, I'm going to go to 5 mics tonight. I'm just going to go bounce around and see what the hell happens. You know?
Dude, and that's when you're living. You might make the right connection. You might meet the most beautiful girl you've ever seen in your life. Who knows? That's the thing, dude.
I'm literally the worst person at networking. Like, that's the whole
it's
business.
Fake bullshit. Yeah, man.
Yeah, even if it's just like, I'm like, hey, we should, you know, like that dude like who was here tonight, he was like, yeah, you got a Facebook? And I'm like, oh wow, yeah, and that's all I gotta do. It's like, oh, now we're friends on Facebook. It's like, all right, now it's like a network. But like, normally I'm just like never in photos with people. I'm never like, you know, getting Facebook ads or whatever. So that's the hard part. But I think if you just talk to people, especially about comedy, you know, get people on podcasts.
You asked me to do this. You did pretty good with that.
Well, that's what I'm hoping to meet
you
more people.
You did not seem nervous, Andrew. You seemed very comfortable when you asked me. That was great.
That's kind of my idea because, like, when you go to open mics, you don't really talk to the comics. There's sort of like a competition thing going on, even though not really. But people kind of like, oh, I'm just kind of working on my jokes here. I'm kind of minding my own business. But realistic, people want to work together on projects. You know, if you're in L.A., everyone's like an actor. They're just looking for work. They want to get together. So hopefully, like, just a podcast like this, it would be an opportunity for people to get together, just kind of riff and, you know, be funny. So
what's your vision then? So you asked about us. What's your vision?
I mean, I listen to a lot of podcasts. So, like, I've always thought, like, oh, it'd be fun to do a podcast or to be on somebody else's podcast. But if you don't ever have anything to show for it, like, why the hell would anybody take
it? Hey, John Smith, do you want to be on Joey Diaz's podcast?
Yeah, like, just, like, you know, messaging somebody on, like, Instagram, like, can I be in your podcast that goes out to, like, 200,000 people? Like, that's not going to work. So you need to have some sort of material. So I've been doing open mics for, like, three, 4 months now, and it's all right, you know. But, like, you know, I'm traveling, you know, an hour to Vermont. I'm going up there for 4 minutes, and that's it, you know. I've made a few friends here and there, but, you know, I'd rather be on a podcast and get to talk for an hour or as long as I want to. And then people get to at least get to know me a little more and, you know, what the stuff that I'm interested in. So what I've been doing mostly for the podcast is it's probably gonna be like this when I have guests, so, you know, interviews, talk to people about stuff. But when I'm doing solo ones, it's been like kind of weird news. So since I know you guys' time is kind of limited in this coffee shop where we are right now, Coffee Cat, shout out, plug. I just been finding some like just weird, bizarre news articles, kind of just talking about them, mostly talk about myself, so it's gonna be nice to hear some other opinions on it. So I'm just gonna go on my phone really quick. So all right, so the first one that I heard about, there was like this have you seen those like pedicures, not pedicures, but these women, they put their feet in a fish tank and these little tiny fish eat the dead skin on their feet.
Oh, leeches.
They're like these little carp. They're called like doctor fish. I don't know the actual name, but they're like a certain type of carp and they're mini fish. And they starve these little fish, and they
whoa.
Well, yeah, and that's actually why they're banned in 10 states, because they starve these fish, which actually just want to eat plant food. So they're so hungry that they'll actually start nibbling. Like, they're really small, like not like tadpoles, but really, really small. And they just nibble on these women's feet, and there's videos of, like, you know, grandma's like, and then she's, like, you know, freaking out. But this one woman on the news, she claims that she got this rare foot disorder from going to this this whatever, this fish pedicure thing, and it caused her toenails to fall off. So apparently, like, you can't sanitize these tanks. So she put her feet in here, and she claims that she got this disorder where her toenails stopped growing and then eventually just fell out.
That's not good.
No, especially now, right? It's like the summer. You want to, you know, wear flip-flops, and you can't really wear flip-flops, right? If you have no toe, I mean, there's no toenails on them. Where does the toe start? You know, if you have no toenails, it's like this long.
You know, I've often heard legitimate, like, scary stories about them fish because I've heard so many things about it. They've even done, you know, little breakaway TV episodes of different shows where they get their feet cleaned by these fish.
Yeah, it's gross.
To me, when I think of a fish, the first thing I've never thought of was, God damn, I got to get my Susan socks off now.
Right?
Like, these fish need food now. That's never been my first, like, thought. But to each his own, I guess.
I mean, there's
different strokes for different folks.
There's got to be a better way to do it, right? If there's the risk of having your toenails fall off because they're not, you're putting your foot in this, like, foot juice, and God knows what other feet have been in there. I mean,
or how many feet have been in there.
Yeah, I mean, they don't even clean it. Or the
yeah, but, dude, that pet egg shit, remember that? Do you remember that commercial when we were kids?
Yep.
It was like a cheese grater that you put on your foot.
That's like the normal way. I
right.
Like.
So what I'm saying is like that fish shit, this stuff.
Yeah.
That's only a marketing thing because they see how
this is a new
shocking
gimmick.
It is, right? So they do that because they know people are gonna say, "Oh, let's do it as an activity rather than just like a manicure thing."
Yeah, it's like a new exciting trend, but it's
yeah,
like,
dude. That's because those are people who live 9 to 5 and their whole lives are really boring. So they see those videos on Facebook. They're like, man, let's go do something fun. Let's go get leeches on our feet.
Yeah, let's go have brunch, have some mimosas and get our feet eaten
exactly.
By little fish.
That's what that is.
Yeah,
that's 9-to-5ers trying to make their life more fun by doing something that's stupid.
Your boring, bland life, and now you have no toenails.
Right,
your summer's ruined.
That's what you get.
You gotta wear, you know.
That's what you get. You could have gone skydiving.
Yep.
But instead, you had to have fish eat your feet.
So. I'm no Johnny Cochran, but
yeah,
couldn't some contaminant from another human being have caused that? Not just the fish. I mean, you said it yourself. They don't clean them out. So
yeah, it's from mouth, fish's mouth. Yeah. It's biting. I don't even.
My question is how much is it of the fish, and how much is it germs or biopathogen versus biopathogen?
I mean, the fish aren't going to get sued, but I think that the owners should probably look into it. All right.
Or people should not be that boring to where they need excitement by having fish at their feet. Like, dude.
Like I said, they starve these fish. Like, the fish don't want to eat dead foot skin. They just want to eat normal plant food, and they starve these things, and they're, like, so hungry, you put their feet, and then they're like, all right, we finally have something to eat. And it's, like, it's kind of cruel and messed up. And, yeah, like you said, it's just kind of a fad. And, you know, there's risks involved.
Can you imagine if they made, like, humans do that? They starve humans so that the only thing they could eat was, like, what? Jesus, I can't even say that. Feet skin.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Are we really going this way? I mean, no offense, but I was scared. I'll admit it right now. I was scared of Planet of the Apes because you know and I know those humans were fucked.
Oh, God.
Of the Apes.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the bestiality right now?
No, okay. I'm talking about straight up just being having another powerful creature dominate you to such a level to go, you are not allowed to eat your natural food. You will eat our feet.
That's called left field, Andrew, and Harlan just took us there.
I'm sorry.
I did not expect that. I went to a dark place. I thought he meant literally fucked. Like,
No.
I never thought about it. Like, maybe that happened, actually. That's a deleted scene, I guess. I didn't see that part, but, I mean, it makes sense, you know.
I'll never look at Charleston Heston the same way again.
Damn dirty apes. Just
pounding his head.
All right. All right, so we have a weird story. The headline is, police say a man breaks in, found with hatchet and pants down. This is from Middleton. A woman walked into her Middletown resident Friday morning and found a man in a bed with a hatchet and his pants down, according to police. He had a hatchet in one hand and his genitals in his other hand, and he was passed out in the bed. And she gets her husband to wake him up. The husband has a gun. He wakes him up. The guy, like, gets up and he freaks out. He's like, ah! And the husband hits him in the head with the gun. And then they fight, they go outside, and apparently he shoots at the guy to scare him away, and then he shoots at him again, and he runs away, and they find the guy with the head wound down the street. What happened to him? He was treated at the local hospital, and bond was set at $450,000. That's pretty damn high. What would
any
you do?
Any man who wields a hatchet in someone else's bed passed out does not have family assets totaling $450,000.
No, not even
that
close.
That dude is not getting bailed out.
Not even the 10%.
He is not
10%.
Getting bailed out.
What the hell is he doing? How do you, like, just get carried away? Do you have a hatchet and your genitals in the other hand?
Sounds like a crazy story, but that's one word, meth.
Bath salts or even Tide Pods at this point in time.
Speaking of bath salts, there was a couple actually arrested. I believe it was in Florida.
Florida.
Yes, that's where they were arrested because they were allegedly they were firing shots at fireflies because they thought they were alien lasers.
Wow.
Yes, they were tripping out on bath salts, firing guns in the air, thinking that these aliens are trying to, you know, probe them or whatever.
I mean, from their perspective, that must have been terrifying. They thought they were, like, surviving the apocalypse.
Are bath salts fun? It's every time it's like, the guy's eating your face.
Yeah, I always wonder that. You've never heard a good bath salt story.
Yeah,
it's you've like, never heard someone be like,
honestly,
you know,
bath salts get a bad rap. They're actually really mellow and really fun. It's like, I just got to listen to Pink Floyd and just do some bath salts. It's like, I was eating the neighbor's child's face.
Bath salts are never a good decision.
I have never been so bored in my life. I tried bath salts to make it more interesting.
You took a bath and were just kind of relaxing with candles?
Whatever I want to do. It's just, I've never gone to that point where I'm like, I bet you I can eat this, turn into a deranged lunatic, and eat
dude,
my neighbor's dog's face. I've always felt like me being me, if I want to be a lunatic anyway, I could be without bath salts.
Right? It's like...
Pardon me if I may say, I wouldn't go as far as eating people's faces. I wouldn't Hannibal Lecter anybody. The bath salts may help you there, but...
Maybe it's like you get the munchies for human flesh. I don't know, but that's... you know, the human zombies. They were like, zombies are real. This guy in Florida is eating people.
Yeah, I remember that headline. Yep, that was the first. I didn't even know what bath salts were as a drug until I heard that shit. And I was like, wait a minute. That should just be, like, the D.A.R.E. program should just be a video of that guy getting his face eaten. That's all you need. Exactly. I would never do bath salts.
Like normally when adults like don't do them, you're like, all right, this is right, you know, and it's like, it's probably cool, I want to try it. But then you see the video and you're just like, all right.
You see a face being eaten, you know they're not lying.
It's not like you're gonna fall into the couch or your brain is an egg. It's like you are gonna be a cannibal.
Yep.
You know that, and to show Florida's wonderful ecosystem of drugs and fun, bath salts are no longer the thing you got to just worry about. There are also this thing called Flaca. I don't know if you know that.
I've heard of it.
Boy, let me tell you. Flaca. One Flaca user, he basically said, well, yeah, you'll trip, but there's no guarantee you'll come back. I guess some people even trip after the drug wears off. I mean,
they like adventures, I guess. It's like, maybe I'll, you know, never be the same again. I wake up in a, you know, cell. That's it.
Again, that's
good. I like. I'm not that adventurous anymore. I'm like, I curb the risks, and I'm just like, all right. It may be the funnest thing ever, but it's like, you know, do you need that?
I feel like that transcends adventurous into just plain stupid. Like, I don't understand a positive. Like, okay, you be pro Flaca and sell it to me.
All right, man. It's like Russian roulette, but it's like there's five bullets. And there's one that's there's five bullets and one is okay.
And one is empty.
But it's like, it's kind of like you jump out of a plane and I don't know. It's like you're jumping down into like a, I don't know, Swedish fish pool. Yep. Sounds pretty good, right? Sort of. Melted Swedish fish. That was a bad example.
You're not even on Flaca yet, and this story sucks, so I'm going to pass on the Flaca.
I sound like I'm on Flaca. Like, what the hell is that even like? I don't even know. What is it, like a stimulant? Is it a hallucinogen?
All you got to do, this is for you and your listeners, if you're sick of the Netflix and chill, all you got to do is go on YouTube and look at Flaca. Flocka, I think it is. And you will see some people doing the most wild shit I've ever seen.
All right, listeners, you heard it. Go try Flaca. Come back to
don't,
some stories.
Don't
do it.
No, do you know what he just said? He just said, do not go watch Two Girls, One Cup. Go to YouTube and watch Two Girls, One Cup reaction. Those are very different videos. Exactly. Those are very, very different things.
Maybe. But if you watch a Flaca video, you'll be entertained for about 4 to 5 minutes, and then you'll have this crisis of questioning humanity. How do we become the dominant species?
I think those girls may have been on Flaca to do that shit. I heard it was fake, though, but I don't know.
What girls? Oh, Two Girls, One Cup.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Damn it. I need to go to bed. It's only 9 o'clock, and I need to go to bed.
All right. We have, like, five more stories. Let me go through them quickly because we took
five.
A long time. Sorry. A 92-year-old woman is facing multiple charges after she allegedly shot and killed her son in Fountain Hills Monday because she was refused to be admitted to an assisted living facility. So, basically, a 92-year-old mom was like, I'm not going to be put in a nursing home. And she shot her son.
So, I need to shoot my son.
So, she shot this. Can you imagine being killed by a 90-year-old person? How... like, that just, that's the worst way to go.
Yeah, that's not good.
Do you think you could fight it? I mean, she must have surprised him.
To be fair,
I don't understand the logic, though.
To be fair, like, assisted home, no, there's got to be a better way to answer that. But to be fair, about the guy who died, what was he really going to do?
Oh, my God.
His 90-some-odd-year-old mother is charging at him with a gun. You can't punch her in the face for two reasons.
I mean, you're right, because the son is 72 years
exactly.
old.
Exactly. Yeah, one, yeah. It's your mom. And two, you're going to be punching a 92-year-old.
She had two guns, not just one. She had two pistols concealed in her robe, and she confronted the son in the bathroom. Yeah, she removed the gun and fired multiple rounds, killing her own son. Oh, my God. There was another story, too, about a mom shooting the son. Apparently, the mom claimed that the son stole her cell phone, and they got into a big fight, and the son left. She was 66, and the son was 46, and he left on a bicycle. And she's like, I'm not going to let him get the last word. And she goes after him and does a drive-by shooting on her own son. And she misses, but she still tried to shoot her own son over some... Oh, the thing was, like, the phone was actually plugged in at home the whole time. But, like, the fact that parents are shooting and throwing kids, what is going on, man?
No parent should shoot their kid, but at least in the second case, the kid did something that made her pissed. In the first case, she was just like, I didn't get something I want, so I should kill something that didn't do anything to me.
Insert Pokemon Go joke anywhere. part of that cell phone thing.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand you not wanting to go into a nursing home if you're 92, but...
Okay, so she didn't want
to
go.
No, she didn't want to go. And he's like, you know, Mom, like, you're getting to be a burden.
Okay, so the way you described it, I thought what was going on was the mom wanted to go in. She got denied, and then she was just so pissed she shot her son who had nothing to do with it.
Oh, no.
That's what I thought.
I read it really fast.
That was like, wow, that's the worst mom in the history of the world, maybe.
Yeah.
How many kids did she have before that point? That's the real question.
Well, she put on that old TV cliche, didn't she? Keep your shit up. I brought you in this world. I take you out.
Oh, she took him out, all right. And she's not going to the nursing home after all.
Nope. But she is going into assisted living, just a different kind.
Yes, she's going away for life, probably. Even if it's
for
like
the next 3 months.
3 months, yeah. This is a weird story. Teacher accused of trying to hypnotize students, forcing them to call him master. He was arrested after he allegedly had inappropriate contact with 5 female students. Oh, okay.
I was thinking it was... I was going to ask what subject did he teach, thinking it was science, but now it sounds like he's just creeping.
He was actually an elementary school teacher.
Whoa.
So, he's been charged with institutional sexual assault.
Never. What does that mean? Mm. Oh, when you're in a position of power,
I guess
maybe?
If you're in an institution.
I think it has to do with, like, being in a cult. Like how that one guy was in a cult, so it was institutional because the cult itself is an institution.
What is it technically an institution or an institute? Because, like, you know, there's like the Bosley Hare Institute. If you like sexually, like if you like grab somebody's ass in there, is that institutional sexual assault or is it something?
I mean, I think we've really delineated the meaning of the word institution because, like you said,
Bosley, come on.
The fucking hair club.
That's not a real institute. It's like,
hey, but you can't knock them. At least they ain't trying to make someone call them master.
The hair institute.
Exactly. You may have to go to master.
Dude, as an aside, so like my talent agency in Seattle had this partnership with a hair.
There's a hypnotist.
No, there's no hypnotist. It was a hair studio. Jesus Christ, I don't even know what it's called. Like a salon school.
Mm.
And basically, it was like a 1-year program for people to become a hairdresser. You know how much it cost?
No.
For 1 year, it was like 10 months or something in Seattle.
$10,000.
$20,000 to get a certificate as a goddamn hairdresser.
How much do you make a year?
That's my point, dude. Like, what? I don't know much, but I know that wasn't the best.
Especially when CV Tech had that opportunity when we went to school to do that shit for free. Cosmetology.
Yep.
And now Seattle's nuts anyway. I wouldn't like it anyway. Too much rain.
All right, what's the next one, Andrew? What you got?
All right, let's keep this moving.
We got to make moves on these. Yeah. Rapid fire.
This is closing real quick.
Be funny quickly.
All right, a professor was arrested for stalking one of her students. Allegedly, he sent her, I believe it was 800 texts a day. 800 texts. I don't know the math, but that seems excessive. You know what I mean? Like, is that like every...
I mean, at that point, it goes beyond excessive into impressive, only in the fact of, like, the ability to, you know, send that many in a day. That's astonishing.
Maybe he was just giving her his syllabus for the year.
And I mean, like, to be fair...
Letter by letter.
Yeah.
It happens, you know? Some people get busy.
I mean, he said, you should be happy that somebody likes you this much to stalk you. Oh, man. It seems like teachers are really just... pieces of shit, like, that are just really, like, they can't control themselves. They're all hooking up with their students, men, males and females these days. It's like, what's going on? I mean, I know you get close, but
all right, what's your next one? Is it a good one? A good one?
I think so. I hope so. A Hollywood exec is still employed after a man died in his sex dungeon.
Say that again? A Hollywood exec?
Yes. Apparently, an S&M-loving Hollywood exec keeps his job after a man dies in his sex dungeon.
It's a strong union.
Skip Chasing. Yeah. All right. A man died in his basement dungeon, which I guess in Hollywood, you know, you're going to L.A., so you may get invited to some of these parties. They're like, you know, we've got a basement sex dungeon. You know, so just be careful. There may be, like, you know, fog in there. Just be careful.
You know what astonishes me about things like this? I can't even get a normal date. And this dude it's called a sex dungeon, and someone dies down there, and, like, that dude, guy gets laid more than me.
Dude, he was...
like, what the hell?
He was mummified in plastic wrap and gaffer's tape.
This is what I'm saying. People are more willing to sign up for that than, like, hey, let's go play Frisbee. I just don't get it. I'm missing something. There's an element of life that it's clearly...
There's a whole dark underbelly of life that we're all missing out on. There's just
apparently it is a great fetish to be an H.H. Holmes slash whatever serial killer victim there is.
Yeah, this is like you want to be a serial killer victim. That's right.
Well, you have fun with that. Especially...
Yeah, there's no good that comes from being mummified.
I want to be a mummy. I'm into being mummified.
That's my thing.
It's almost like that guy who actually posted on the internet that he wanted to be eaten. So him and the cannibal literally arranged a date to eat him.
Did he die from it, or was it just like little nibbles?
Oh, they straight up... He wanted to be eaten to death. The cannibal drugged him, killed him, and sliced him up and ate him.
Dude, I don't get that. That's like when you're into something like that. I don't know if you heard of it. There's something called like bug chasers. It's like in the gay community where they like to have sex with people with HIV or AIDS because it's like thrilling.
What?
It's like, I just feel like that stuff where it's like, okay, you're risking your life. It's like that just passed like a sexual kind of, you know, interest.
They need a stronger word than bug chaser.
Yeah.
When the government makes bills that are like really drastic and they want to make it seem cool, so they give it like a nice name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, oh, it's cute. It's just
bug
a little
chaser
like,
is much worse than that.
Yeah, I like to chase a butterfly with a net. I'm a bug chaser.
Yep.
I have never...
Like, Jim Crow was a lot worse than Jim Crow, the name Jim Crow.
Yeah, Jim Crow just sounds like, you know, a scarecrow. It's like, that's Jim Crow over there. We put, like, a corn cob pipe in his mouth, and he scares away the birds.
All right, you got one more?
All right, let's see what's a good one. All right, so a man pretending to be a ghost at Portsmouth Cemetery was arrested.
Portsmouth, England?
I don't think so. I think it's in the, maybe it's the Guardian.
Could be New Hampshire.
Yeah, it's the Guardian. I think it's the U.K.
I've been there. Yeah, not the cemetery.
The Kingston Cemetery. So allegedly this 24-year-old guy was out drinking, and he was just hiding behind, I guess, different graves and popping out and just going, pretend to be a ghost.
Was he dressed up, or was he just making the noises?
His ratty behavior pretend to be
a
ghost?
I feel like for this to be news, he has to at least have a decent outfit on.
What law does this break? Disturbing the peace? I mean,
I don't think you could like fool around in cemeteries and just be like a goofball prankster. I think there's some laws against that. He was like sentenced to probation, so it wasn't super serious, but this guy's an asshole. Just hanging out. If you hang out in cemeteries, you're an asshole.
For anyone who cares.
Oh, my God. All right. I got one more story after this.
All right. Hit me.
All right.
For anyone who cares, defiling a dead body sexually is only a misdemeanor.
What? That cannot possibly be true.
Look it up. When I found that out, it shocked me, too.
Why were you looking it up? I'm just kidding.
Because.
It's 2018, Andrew.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm open minded.
Well, here's the thing.
I'm old school like that.
I was watching a scary movie about this dude who liked to do that around Halloween time, and I go, there's no way
he
got away
with that. Wow,
that was
his thing. It wasn't a one and done. It was
The whole movie, he would kill people so he could screw the dead body. And
I want to make one quick point on this.
Rotten Tomatoes score. What is it?
I was on a bus with a girl, and I started talking to her, and she was in a trip in Madagascar. And they have a thing, and I can't remember the name of it, but it's a tradition every year at a certain time, they unbury all of their dead, which are kept in tombs.
What? Fuck that.
Okay, they're kept in tombs, and they're wrapped in like a cloth, and then they pull out their dead ancestors and dance with them. They dance with corpses, and everybody gets all these crazy diseases and all this horrible stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, that's their culture.
10 minutes.
That's their culture.
Dancing with
the dead.
That's like dancing with wolves, or just dancing
Except
with corpses.
Except way worse.
Dancing, wow. All
right, last one. Here we go.
All right. This story, when I read this article before, I didn't believe it was real. But it's Newsweek. You guys see that? This is legit Newsweek article.
Newsweek.
All
right, hit me.
All right, so a passenger jet was forced into an emergency landing on Tuesday as panicked travelers fainted in their seats and vomited in the aisles. So already, just fainting and vomiting.
Like vomit, faint? Or faint, wake up, vomit?
Like, the reaction is so intense. People are... All right, so basically...
Was the airplane movie Passion of the Christ? Because that could seriously solve that issue.
People vomit.
All right.
So basically, there was a passenger who smelled so bad that he induced this reaction where people are fainting and vomiting. And and they even go on to say that people were screaming and like grabbing for their bags to get a handkerchief to cover over their mouth. And they became violently ill because this guy, he smelled so bad.
Listen, I have a joke about how when you go to a club, have you ever had this happen where you go to like a really packed dance floor and someone farts, and instead of like dudes that would normally want to fight everyone, like instead of getting angry, they all just like awkwardly walk away and clear an empty space. I have a joke that we need to take that, and then like when they have like a protest that's getting violent, just send one of those guys in to fart, and it'll slowly like disperse the crowd. What the government just needs to do instead of soldiers, just get that guy and bring him in and just take care of ISIS.
Dude,
they'll just
real.
Puke their way out of the desert. That's what we need.
There's actually a part. There's another story that was related to this one where there was a guy. They had to emergency land the plane because a passenger, he kept farting. He just kept farting. And he got into a fight with another passenger because he was just like, and this guy was probably like, yo, bro, do you mind? Can you go to the bathroom? Like,
was he doing it like for spite? Like,
he was just doing it and he didn't care. And he was sticking up the place.
He had to land a plane.
Yeah, they got into a fist fight. These two passengers got into a fight. Well, actually, this story, there was no fight and they had to land the plane because, let's see. The Belgian website says it was a huge stench. The smell made me think the man hadn't been washed for weeks. The flight attendants, they start to spray like perfume to mask the smell, and it's still not strong enough. So they're like, all right, we're gonna move this guy, and they put him in the toilet in the bathroom, and they close the door on him, and they make him sit back there,
even for the landing.
For the whole flight. No.
Wow.
Oh yeah, for the landing.
Wow.
So that doesn't work. So they're like, what do we do now? Like, people are puking, they're screaming, they're fainting. Like, what are we gonna do?
My God, dude.
So you know what they do? So they're like, all right, we have to land this plane. We got to get this guy off. So they land the plane and they hand him off to a waiting ambulance. Because like, I was wondering, like, what do you do with the guy who smells bad? Like, does he get arrested? Do you give him, you know, to the police? So apparently they just put you in an ambulance and send you to the hospital for I don't know what.
That is true.
Something.
To be fair, a hospital is sterile.
Like, something must be wrong with you to smell that bad.
There was a dude in Seattle that was so, I'm not going to name names, but he was like pretty well known. Come on. Like, you know how like there's certain people you see in the streets all the time?
Jeff Bezos.
Nope, okay. He was not that guy. I wish I saw him. But anyways, this dude was so gross and smelled so bad that the police didn't even want to service the warrant to arrest him. Like, they knew where he was. They knew who he was. He needed to go to jail. No one wanted to arrest him. And he was so bad that when they finally brought him in, like, the police cruisers in Seattle are all just plastic in the back. They pressure washed the whole back seat just from him sitting in it. Now, here's my point. That dude's stench was so powerful and potent, it was literally like a defense.
Yeah, exactly.
No one's mugging him. That guy could be a billionaire. No one's touching him.
Yeah, exactly.
And so what I'm saying is that could have been Jeff Bezos on that airplane.
Absolutely.
He was just in disguise as the smelliest human ever.
Yeah. The super smelly guy.
Yeah.
So after they got rid of this guy, they go up in they take off again, and it smelled so bad, the stench lingered, that they couldn't serve food or drink because they were so worried that people were going to be vomiting, getting sick on the floor, ground again.
All right. Holy shit.
So I heard someone say that the stench was worse than that of a corpse that had been decomposing for a month.
Makes you wonder if they're going to stop the ban of shampoos.
Does the article say what the MO was? Like, was he from a certain place and he didn't bathe, or what was his deal?
No, there's no more information on the man than...
Wow, that's what I want to know, is what the stench was. Like, what was it? No, way it was just body odor.
Yeah, they just said it smelled like he hadn't washed for weeks.
That's amazing.
But, like, they send him to the hospital in a different country that...
You know what I want? I want the video of that plane.
Oh, my God.
That's what I... Like, the security video of just everyone puking and passing out. Because we don't even have to smell it. We just get the benefits of that. That's amazing.
Honestly, I could look that up after. But there's definitely probably a video. Boom. Just people puking. Well, all right, guys. Thank you.
I wonder if they're going to ban shampoo and soap still after that guy. I mean, it'd be a good thing to have on extra.
Yep.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks, guys, for being guests on the No Friggin' Way podcast. This was a lot of fun. I like your guys' input. And, thanks a lot.
Monday night, 7 p.m., Coffee Cat.
Open mic. Come down.